At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more. Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills. Accelerate your team's impact and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
Some hauntings start with a knock or a flickering light. Hers started long before that, before she even understood what the word haunting meant. She grew up with the paranormal, not as a curiosity, but as a constant. Her father was an empath, a man who moved through life with one foot in the tangible world and one in the unseen. He never called it a gift. He said it was more like being tuned to a frequency most people couldn't hear. So you see, a sound you can't shut off. When he died in 2006 at the age of 47, that frequency didn't fade. It just got louder. She's 29 now, living on Long Island, and though she's read every book, visited every forum, and tried to approach her experiences with logic, the truth is simple. Something has followed her all her life. It isn't every spirit she's encountered. She's seen and felt plenty over the years. But this one is different, singular, familiar, always near. When she was younger, it showed itself in the physical world, amid lights flickering, doors slamming, the ordinary becoming suddenly violent. She even documented the activity once, back when she lived in an old house with three roommates. The energy there was heavy, thick as humidity before a storm. They'd all witnessed objects moving, heard voices, felt the floor vibrate beneath their feet. There were nights when laughter echoed through empty rooms and cups shattered on their own. But that was years ago. Somewhere along the line, she'd lost the ability, or the willingness, to see the entity clearly. Instead, it began showing itself differently, through sensations, thoughts that weren't hers, images that flickered in her mind like impressions left after lightning. She calls them thought feelings. Not visions, not words, just emotional fragments shaped into something she can barely grasp. These days, she mostly feels it. Sometimes in the air, sometimes inside her own mind. Always when she's alone, and almost always at night. She's battled insomnia for as long as she can remember. Even with medication, sleep doesn't come easy. Without it, she lies awake, pulse racing, convinced that something stands in the corner of her room, watching. She's seen psychiatrists, psychologists, therapists, anyone who might give her an explanation that doesn't involve the supernatural. They all say the same thing. She's perfectly sane. But sanity doesn't silence footsteps in an empty apartment. Her mother has the gift, too, though she refuses to admit it. She's had prophetic dreams, seen shapes she can't explain, but insists it's coincidence. When strange things happen, she blames her daughter. "You attract it," she says. Maybe she's right, because lately the presence has been stronger than ever. And now it's not just her feeling it. Her boyfriend wakes up choking in the middle of the night, swearing that something is pressing down on his chest, keeping him from breathing. He says it's deliberate, that it feels alive. She's tried to reassure him, to explain sleep paralysis, the brain chemistry behind it, how sometimes we wake before our body does, how hallucinations can form in that state, vivid enough to feel real. But he won't hear it. He says this isn't that. And the worst part is, he's not the first. Her last two relationships ended the same way. Both men described being pinned to the bed, unable to move, a hand gripping their throat. Both insisted they'd never experienced anything like it before meeting her. Three men, Three relationships, three identical experiences. She's run out of ways to call it coincidence. The pattern terrifies her. It means whatever this thing is, it isn't just following her. It's interacting, inserting itself into her life, into her relationships. And it isn't just attacking the men in her bed. Over the past few months, she's woken with bruises. Dark, finger-shaped impressions on her arms, her thighs, her back. Sometimes they're small and isolated. Other times they spread wide, as though something had gripped her with both hands. She's tried to rationalize it. She's anemic. Maybe she bruises easily. Maybe she bumped into something, forgot. But these marks are in places she can't explain. The inside of her arm, the back of her shoulder, the soft skin beneath her collarbone. Then there are the scratches, thin red lines that sting when she touches them, often in patterns that make no sense. Some mornings she finds tiny cuts on her hands or chest, as though she'd been clawing in her sleep, but her partners insist she doesn't move when she sleeps. Not a twitch. Objects go missing. Doors that were locked when they went to bed are found unlatched in the morning. The lights, everyone but the bedroom, turn on by themselves in the night. At first she thought it was funny in a grim sort of way. Ghost cliches made real. But the humor evaporated when her boyfriend started losing sleep entirely, waking in gasps and trembling, his voice raw from trying to scream. She wanted to believe it was stress. The tension between them, the arguments that had become more frequent, more emotional. Maybe the energy she carried, the frustration she never voiced, was somehow manifesting, externalizing. Her father once told her that strong emotion can act as fuel for the unknown, but deep down, she knows this isn't her doing. She can feel it. It's not defending her either. If anything, it delights in frightening her. Doors slam when she's alone. Cold bursts of air roll across her face at night. Sometimes she wakes to the feeling of breath against her ear or hears her own name whispered from nowhere. Whatever it is, it wants her attention. And maybe, as Ray Dursat says, after all these years, it finally has it. It's the pattern that disturbs her most. Every relationship, every home, every attempt at a new start, eventually, the same thing happens. A man beside her in the dark, gasping for air, fighting something she can't see. And she, lying there helpless, listening to the panic she somehow knows is connected to her. At first she thought it was coincidence, then she realized coincidence doesn't leave fingerprints. Her current boyfriend is convinced he's being attacked. He wakes up thrashing, eyes wide and unfocused, his throat marked by red streaks that fade by morning. She tries to reason with him, her voice shaking. It's sleep paralysis. The body freezes during REM. It's science. But he's not convinced. Neither were the others. Three men, three identical experiences, all of them saying the same thing, as that something in the room pressed down on them, that it wanted them gone. And through it all, she feels the presence she's known since childhood, hovering just beyond sight, humming like static. She's logical by nature, raised to question, to research, to never surrender her mind to fear. Her father taught her that. "Be open," he said, "but stay grounded." He never told her what to do when the ground itself begins to shake. The bruises began months ago, first small, then darker, more deliberate. Finger-shaped impressions blooming overnight. The scratches followed. Thin lines on her arms and chest, tiny cuts that sting when water touches them. She keeps telling herself she must be clumsy, restless in her sleep, but her boyfriend insists she doesn't move an inch when she's unconscious. She sleeps like stone. Then come the little things. Doors unlocking themselves, keys vanishing and reappearing in impossible places, lights turning on in every room except the one they sleep in. Each morning feels staged, like she's waking up in the aftermath of someone else's performance. She's kept journals, photographs, times, dates, anything to prove to herself that it's real, that she isn't sliding into paranoia. And yet when she looks back through her notes, the entries blur together. Light in kitchen on again. keys missing, heard breath near my ear, felt hand on shoulder, always the same script, always the same invisible actor. She starts wondering if the thing feeds on emotion. The nights it's strongest are the nights they fight, her voice rising, heart pounding, frustration bottled behind silence. Maybe that energy is what it wants. Maybe it's feeding through her, using her to reach whoever's closest. But if it's connected to anger, why does it also strike when she's calm or lonely or quietly grieving her father? She can't tell if it's protecting her or punishing her. It terrifies her. But it's also familiar, as if it's known her all along. She's lived in half a dozen apartments since childhood, and in every single one, the feeling has followed. Sometimes it fades for months, even years, then reappears without warning, settling into the corner of a new room like it never left. She's tried everything she can think of. Sage, salt, crystals, prayers, music, silence. She stood in the center of her living room and declared out loud, "You don't belong here." The air goes still for a while, obedient. Then just when she starts to believe it worked, something slams a door or flicks a light, reminding her that she's not in charge. She's not sure what's worse, the nights when it announces itself or the nights when it doesn't. Lately, the haunting has taken on a new trick. She'll be lying in bed, half asleep, when she feels a rush of cold air pass over her, as if someone's walked through the room. Then, faintly, a whisper. Never words she can understand, just breath moving close to her ear. Once she heard her own name, her chihuahua hears it too. The dog paces the bed, barking into empty corners until exhaustion wins. When the barking stops, the silence is heavier than before. Some nights, the presence feels almost human, like a person standing at the edge of perception. Other times, it feels mechanical, alien, something that doesn't belong to the vocabulary of the living. When she reaches out with the intuition her father taught her to trust, she gets nothing. No warmth, no emotion, only resistance, like trying to touch smoke made of ice. And still, she hesitates to call it evil. If it wanted to kill her, it's had years to try. Instead, it circles, presses, provokes, like it's studying her or testing her. She thinks about her father often, wonders if he'd know what to call this. He warned her never to use a Ouija board, said it opens doors you can't close. But he also told her that sometimes writing can act as a safer bridge, that automatic writing might help her understand what's trying to reach through. She's never dared. The idea of giving it her hand, even for a second, feels like surrender. And maybe that's what this whole thing has been about. Control. Her father's death, her sleepless nights, the way every relationship collapses under invisible pressure. Every time she rebuilds her life, the entity reminds her that she's not the only one writing the story. Now when she lies awake and the lights begin to flicker on in the next room, she doesn't rush to check, she just listens. Because whatever this thing is, it wants acknowledgement. And ignoring it seems to make it angrier. She doesn't know if she's haunted, cursed, or simply connected to something beyond comprehension. But she knows one thing for sure. Disbelief offers no protection. The line between faith and fear has vanished, and she's standing right on it. Sleep has become the enemy. When she closes her eyes, she doesn't rest. She waits for the sound, for the shift in air pressure, for that subtle vibration in her chest that always means it's here again. Lately, the nights blur together. The lights that switch on by themselves. The creak of the apartment door unlocking, even though she double-checked it hours earlier. The soft scurry of her chihuahua's nails across the bedspread. The animal pacing, barking at something she can't see. And then there's the humming. It's faint, mechanical, almost electrical. Like a transformer buzzing far away. It vibrates through her pillow into her teeth until she can't tell if she's hearing it or feeling it. She lies there motionless because she's learned that movement makes it worse. If she shifts, even slightly, the air around her seems to tighten. Once she swore she felt fingers graze her ankle, light, deliberate, curious. Another time, a cool breath slid across her ear, followed by a whisper. That wasn't a word, more like a sigh, trying to become one. She thought about moving out again. But what's the point? She's carried this thing from one coast to the other, across apartments, states, even relationships. Leaving a zip code doesn't change a haunting. Her boyfriend's losing patience. He says the energy in the apartment feels heavy, that he wakes up choking, unable to breathe. He stopped sleeping beside her, choosing the couch instead. Whatever this is, he told her last week, it's not normal, it's not me, and it's not sleep paralysis. She didn't argue, because by now even she stopped believing that explanation. The bruises have returned. They bloom overnight on her ribs, her thighs, sometimes across her shoulders, as if someone's pressed her down. The marks don't fade easily. They're deep, almost like burns. She photographs them in the morning, keeps a file on her laptop labeled evidence. The evidence folder is the only thing that feels real anymore. The rest of her life has started to blur, her job, her friends, even her own reflection. She's begun catching movements behind her in mirrors, quick shadows that vanish before she can turn her head. And then there's the voice. It started as whispers at the edge of sleep, then one night it spoke clearly, soft, genderless, and close enough that she could feel its warmth. Stop fighting it. She bolted upright, heart hammering. The room was empty. Her chihuahua stood at the foot of the bed, trembling. For days afterward, she couldn't shake the words. Stop fighting it. What did that mean? She's read about attachments, entities that bind themselves to people rather than places. They feed off emotion, off energy, especially grief. The theory makes sense. The timing fits. Her father died. The activity grew stronger. The presence more personal. Maybe it's never been a ghost at all. Maybe it's a manifestation, an echo of her own unresolved pain. But if that's true, why does it hurt other people? She keeps thinking back to her father's warnings. Never open doors you don't understand. Never invite what you can't control. Maybe unknowingly, she did. Maybe through years of obsession, study, and sensitivity, she built the very bridge this thing needed. Lately, even her chihuahua acts differently. The tiny dog follows her from room to room, refusing to be left alone. It growls at empty corners, then whines as if something invisible is crowding its space. Once, while she was showering, she heard the dog shriek. She ran out dripping, soap still in her hair, to find it barking at the ceiling, eyes locked on the same corner, above the bed where she always feels the cold. The more she acknowledges it, the more active it becomes. She stops shouting at it. That used to be her defense, anger, defiance, profanity. It only made things worse. The louder she fought, the more it seemed to enjoy it. Now she stays quiet, careful, measured. Still, it finds new ways to remind her who's in charge. The other night, as she was drifting off, she heard the familiar buzzing again. Low, rhythmic pulsing. Then, from across the apartment, the front door clicked open. The sound was unmistakable. The turn of a deadbolt, the slow, deliberate creak of hinges. She froze. Her boyfriend wasn't home. She knew that. Every rational thought told her to grab her phone, call for help, but her body refused to move. Footsteps followed. Bare feet on hardwood, slow and heavy, padding closer. The dog started barking, frantic, but didn't run. It stayed at the edge of the bed, trembling so hard the mattress shook. The steps reached the doorway. She couldn't see anything at first, just a deeper patch of darkness standing where the light from the hallway should have been. Then it leaned forward and the outline sharpened. Shoulders, a head, the faint suggestion of arms, and in the air around it, a vibration, a pressure, like the atmosphere itself bending. Stop fighting it! This time the voice wasn't in her head. It filled the room, low and smooth, and she felt it vibrate through her bones. She opened her mouth, but no sound came out. The shape tilted its head, as if curious. Then it vanished. The lights in the hallway flared bright, every bulb in the apartment flickering on at once. The next morning, her boyfriend found the door still locked from the inside. She doesn't remember falling asleep afterward, but she woke with a bruise over her collarbone shaped like a perfect half hand. Now she keeps the TV on at all hours. She avoids mirrors after sunset. She sprinkles salt across the window sills and sleeps with her father's old pendant clutched in her hand. The haunting hasn't stopped. If anything, it's grown comfortable. Routine, like a roommate that doesn't need to be seen to remind her, it's there. Sometimes she wonders if this is what possession really looks like. Not a takeover, but a slow blending. A merging of will. A quiet surrender. Maybe that's why the voice keeps telling her to stop fighting. Maybe, in its own way, it's not threatening her. It's inviting her. And that's the most terrifying thought of all. Because late at night, when the air grows cold and the walls hum with that steady vibration, she can feel her resistance slipping. And part of her, small, exhausted, curious, wonders what would happen if she finally listened.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.